as we think this evening about the wonderful story of love, I'd like for us to look at the other side of that, and that is that judgment is sure. In Hebrews 9, verse 27, we read that it's appointed for men to die once, and after this, judgment. And it doesn't matter how much a person may want to think otherwise. The fact is, all of us will die, and all of us will stand in judgment. That is a terrifying thing for some, and yet it is the most pleasant thought that a person can have who is in Christ. And so the same event is both something that is good and something that is bad, depending upon where we are as we face that. And so judgment is sure. I'd like for us to sing number 674. I do not have that one on the overhead. Number 674, just the first verse. You might want to keep your book open. We're going to sing the rest of it later. Jesus describes in Matthew chapter 25 that day, that great day, and our relation to that day. In Matthew 25, in verses 1 through 13, he tells the parable there of the five wise virgins and the five foolish. And tells how that they were waiting on the bridegroom to arrive, and they went to sleep, and when they woke up, those who were wise, the five of them, got up and they had extra oil and they trimmed their lamps, and the five foolish ones had no extra oil. And when they went into town to buy oil, the bridegroom came, and while they were gone, the door was shut. And they were not allowed to enter in. Jesus is teaching there that we are given time now. We have the opportunity now to prepare for judgment. But there is coming a time when that door will be closed. We no longer have that opportunity. We read a moment ago, it is appointed unto man once to die. And when this life ends, there is no second chance and there is no doing something different, because our fate has been sealed. And so we read that this occasion demonstrated the fact that we need to take advantage of the opportunities we have now to serve God. In verses 14 through 30, we read there the parable of the talents. And you remember the master gave three of his servants talents. He gave one of them five, another two, and another one. And the talent was a sum of money. And it was given to each according to their ability so that they could do something with it. And you remember the one who had the five went out and he gained five more. The one who had two gained two more. And the one who had one carried his and he hid it in the earth. And when the master came back, there was a day of reckoning. And on that day of reckoning, the one who had five was told that he could enter into the joys of the kingdom because he had gained five more. He had done good. He was faithful. The one who had gained two was told that he was a good and faithful servant and he could enter into the joys of the kingdom. But the one who had one was described as wicked and lazy because he did nothing with what he had been given. And Jesus is teaching us that we have opportunities according to the abilities that we have. And He gives us these opportunities. And the more we use the opportunities, He says, the more will be given. But if we fail to use the opportunities that God has given us, then even that will be taken away from us. And so we must do what God has told us to do while we have time. And so we use what we have while we have time, according to these parables. In verses 25, or chapter 25, verses 31 through 46, the rest of that chapter, Jesus tells there of the one who divides the sheep and the goats, those on the right and on the left. And he says there the people are divided on that day, as sheep are divided. And he says they are divided based on how they have lived and what they have done. And those that were on the right, he tells them that they had done wonderful things. They had seen after his needs. He said, I was hungry and you fed me. I was sick and you came to see me. I was naked, you gave me clothing. I was in prison and you visited me. And they said, Lord, when did we ever see you like that? And he said, inasmuch as you did it to the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. And to those that were on the left, he told them to depart to a place of punishment. And his reason was because he said, I was sick and I was hungry. I was in prison and I was naked. And you did nothing for me. And they said, Lord, when did we ever see you like that? And he said, inasmuch as you did not do it for my brethren, the least of my brethren, you never did it for me. And so Jesus is teaching that we will be judged by how we treat others and how much we demonstrate the attitudes of Jesus Christ, the attitudes of God, the attitudes of humility and mercy and kindness and love. And we must have these attitudes if we're going to be among God's chosen people. That great day is coming. And it's final. Let's sing verse 2. There's a bright day coming. There indeed is a bright day coming. Matthew 25 and verse 34, we read there, the king said to those on his right, come you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. What a wonderful thing it will be for those who love the Lord to stand on the day of judgment and hear this kind of a proclamation. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, the Apostle Paul says there in verses 7 and 8, I have fought a good fight. I have finished the course. I've kept the faith. In the future there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved His appearing. Paul says, I have lived my life for Jesus, and I look forward to the day that I can go and be with Him in eternity. But he says, it's not just me. That day is not just for me. But that on that final day, that same reward will be given to all of those who love the Lord. Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 1, there beginning in verse 1, it says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who reside as aliens scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who were chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, by the sanctifying work of the Spirit, that you may obey Jesus Christ and be sprinkled with His blood. May grace and peace be yours in fullest measure. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith, for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. There is going to be a great day of judgment. And the question is, do we love the Lord? Because if we do, and if we are serving Him, and we are living for Him, then there is this great inheritance that is laid up for us. It's reserved for us. Those of us who are protected by the power of God. And so it will be indeed a bright day for those who love the Lord. There will be a final day of judgment. There's a bright day coming for those who love the Lord, but there's a sad day coming for those who do not serve Him now. We have time, we have opportunity. We have His Word revealed to us to tell us how to live for Him. But we must take advantage of it in this life because there will be no second chance. In Matthew chapter 25 and verse 30, Jesus said there, "Cast out that worthless slave into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." In verse 41, He says, He will say to those on His left, "Depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels." In verse 46, He says, "These will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." And so we see that this punishment is sure, just as sure as heaven is for those who love the Lord. This eternal punishment, this condemnation, away from the presence of God, is just as sure for those who do not love the Lord. Let's sing verse 3 of 674. We have a wonderful story of love. It's the gospel, the good news of salvation through Jesus Christ. And as the children of God, we can trust in the Lord and we can know that He will take care of us. He's promised that He will provide our needs. In Philippians 4, verses 4 through 7, we read, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I will say rejoice. Let your forbearing spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." I heard someone say just this past week, sort of tongue in cheek, "Why pray when you can worry?" And too often we live that way. Too often we go through life and rather than praying, we just worry. But we're told that if we will go to God in prayer with thanksgiving, He will provide our needs and He will give us that peace that only He can give us. We have this wonderful story of love, the gospel of salvation. And if we trust Him, He will take care of us. We have the promise of heaven when this life is over. Let's sing number 544, "Redeemed." The question tonight is, are you ready for that day? We're all going to face it. All of us will be there in judgment. Tonight, if you're here and you're not a Christian, we ask you to come to Jesus by confessing your faith in Him and turning away from your sin by being baptized in Jesus Christ. He's promised that He will forgive you and you will have that hope of heaven and you can have a bright day in that final day of judgment. Turn to number 389, be the song of encouragement. Number 389. And if you're here in your subject's invitation, we invite you to come as we stand and sing.